What's up, guys, and welcome back to Challenge the Culture. Today, as promised, we are going to get into our series where we discuss what a man is, what he looks like, what he's supposed to do, and all that good stuff. The reason why I think this is so important is because of where we're at as a nation right now, and part of that is, you know, people are finding, I've gotten messages from people that are asking me, you know, like, well, what do I do, and how do I help? You know, how do I show support? I see a lot of other guys that are, you know, unable to get past their own, you know, biases and, you know, their own thoughts and their own pride and selfishness. And I just see men being pulled in such a crazy direction, you know, today and for the last, you know, several decades. And so I think it's time we get into it. We discuss what a man is so I can help offer some freedom to some people. I can help, you know, maybe bless some households. And we can start to remove the scales that I think our culture has placed over our eyes and told us what men were. And we can walk into our own definition of what that is for us and find some happiness. So guys, thank you so much for checking in. And I hope you enjoy this episode. That said, let's get into it. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Challenge the Culture. This is the first episode of the What a Man Is series. I don't know if that's the title yet as I'm talking, but I'm not going to slow down because I'll lose where I'm at, and I can't afford that because I didn't prepare. Anyways, I'm going to read something real quick. It's out of the Bible. So if you're already listening, don't change the channel. It's just really quick. I promise you, it's not deeply religious. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way that seems right in a man's mind, but the end of it is death." And again, there's a way that seems right in a man's mind, but its end is the way of death. That word death doesn't literally mean, you know, you're done breathing or you're not alive anymore, though it can. I don't think that's its primary use in context. It also means separation from God. It means losses of opportunity. You are disconnected from your sense of purpose, your sense of joy, hope, your ability to obtain a better, you know, life. That's what death is encompassing or trying to wrap itself around. You get it. So I picked that because of where we're at in, you know, in our culture today, society. We see so many evils, we see so many atrocities committed, and it's at the hands of just evil men, right? So best case scenario, you know, each one teaches one, and the things that you hear tonight, you will take to others, you'll have a discussion, and, you know, eyes will start to be open, minds will start to be changed, hearts will start to be healed. And then worst case scenario, nobody listens, but we're shooting for the best case scenario. So why am I bringing this up like that, right? So I used to read this verse in one of two ways. For the longest time, the first way was I read it as in a man's mind, or there are ways that seems right in a man's mind. And I read that as, you know, a man doing something that he thinks is right or is beneficial, but it's not, right? That's how I read it the first time. And the reason I got that, so to give you an example, is a man on the block, you know, selling drugs, trying to provide for his family, you know, because without the drug game, I can't provide and my family's going to starve and we won't be able to pay rent. And, you know, that'll just be that, right? I took it that way for so long, and it could also mean that, but I think that the second way is just as important, and especially it's more applicable today. And the second way is what we're seeing today, in that now the evils and all these things that lead to death, they're not being done with the intent that this is going to be beneficial for me or somebody else. It's being done with the intent, I just want to get mine right now. You know, I want instant gratification. I want this money. I want the good feeling. You know, I want the power, whatever it is that they're seeking for. They're doing that thing just for that reason, and they're justifying it. So now you go from doing something questionably, morally questionable, that you know might not be the best or healthy, but you just don't have a choice. You go from that to, I'm just going to do whatever makes me feel good and whatever brings me my best life right now, because that's all I'm interested in anyways, right? So both of those things can be true within this context. We're seeing more of the latter right now. And that's such a pain point for me, because I'm tired of seeing so much get swept under the rug, right? We've been marching, the black, I don't even know the words, it's just the black demographic, our black people, couldn't find that word. Our black people have been marching in the streets and protesting, and then we've gotten other races to come alongside of us and march, and because of that, we've seen a lot of change happen positively that we've been aiming for a very long time. And I'm hoping that with this same passion, we can start to chip away at the amount of evil that we see being committed. And if not the evil, then we could at least see justice, right? I'm tired of seeing these things happen with little to no justice being given, right? And a man was accused of rape and he got 6 months. But yet, other people can sell drugs and get more than a couple of years, and so I'm just tired of the crooked justice. I'm hoping that by opening our minds to what a man is supposed to look like, this will help spur along some healthy conversation, and this will open eyes and all that good stuff. So, with that said, a man looks out for others, right? That is the one that I'm standing on tonight. A man looks out for others. He's a protector. So let's start with the family first, because that is the most important unit that the world has ever seen, the most important and vital structure in the history of our nation has been the family, right? Off the back of a family, we've created so much strength. We've created the world, right? That's all come from having a healthy family structure. Not to say that, so let's say that a man remains single for the rest of his life, or a woman remains single for the rest of her life, right? That doesn't mean that they can't accomplish anything. I'm just saying that a family is a strong unit for one potential, for one important purpose. And that's because out of that family unit grows so much strength, love, peace, happiness, joy, wisdom. That is the vehicle that I believe God has created to make a better and brighter world around us, right? And so, what's happening now is we're seeing an attack on the family structure. We've seen that for a very long time, and I won't get into the specifics of how or why or who's attacking, but just understand right now that the family's under attack. We're seeing fathers being removed from homes. We're seeing fathers leave the homes. We're seeing mothers block fathers from having communication or relationship with their children. And because of that, the family dynamic is starting to suffer. The emotional and mental health of our children is starting to suffer. Children weren't created to grow up with just one parent. Now, I'm not bashing anyone who is a single parent. I'm not saying that they are doing something wrong, or if your situation is that you didn't have a choice and you would rather there be two parents, more power to you. I'm praying that you get that, and that the child is healthy regardless. And I believe that a child can be healthy regardless, but not without certain issues, right? And we see that a lot. Think about how many kids that don't have their fathers at home have become such troublemakers and little, little crap heads, because th there wasn't anybody that in that home, to look out for them, to give them that protection, to give them that stability, and all those different things. And so when we see the destabilization of the family, we see the destabilization of our country, and the piece that is missing right now more often than not is the man, right? We're seeing men leave the role of a man in droves. And the family is starting to suffer, and as an extension or as a result, the world is also starting to suffer. A man is a protector of his family, in that he obviously literally looks out for the family, right? So my job, and I had this conversation with my girlfriend at the time, now fiance. We had, I had the conversation with her that, my job is to keep my family safe. I am the protector of this house. She was like, "Well, why can't I be the protector?" I'm like, "You can be the protector, but you're gonna have to climb over my dead body to protect my family before I do." You know what I mean? This isn't, in my mind, this isn't a, this is my role versus your role is somewhere else. It's no, that's just who I am. And so when I was asked of what a man is, that's what I had to think about. I had to think about things that I would do, things that I want, things that I would want to say, different situations, how I'd react. And that's how I came up with this one part, is that a man needs to be a protector. One, we were built physically stronger, right? Obviously, we're built bigger and stronger, and more durable because physically we can take those hits, right? I'm kill me if I ever look to my wife to protect my family from an attacker versus myself. You know what I mean? If that man is 6'5", 360 pounds, I have a better chance of taking him down than she does, right? Physically, anyways. She has other assets. But I digress. That's beside the point, and I hope she doesn't hear that. In any situation, I am going to keep my family safe. Now, that isn't to say that I'm not looking to her to protect them also, because let's say that, we are in that situation. You take the kids, get out of here. I'm going to make sure that it's safe for you guys to run away. And, you better keep those kids safe while you're away, because I'm relying on her to keep them safe, just like she's relying on me to keep them all safe, And so this isn't a, this is my role versus your role. This is just what I want to see. And so I'm gonna go on a bit of a tangent, but I was, doing my daily YouTube, perusal, perusing, per browsing. Anyways, I was looking at YouTube the other day, and I saw this video of a woman get hit by another man. And this is one of the rare instances where, the woman actually didn't. I don't want to say didn't deserve it, and not rare instance. I've just seen a lot of it. So sorry, I'm relating the rare instances to the videos that I've seen, not just in general, but the videos that I've seen. A lot of these women, they're going off at the mouth, they're throwing hands with these guys, and they're, expecting that the guy's just going to sit there and take it. So when I say that, I say only because, it's warranted and that you don't hit people. And if you don't want to get hit back, don't hit that person, right? This was a video where a woman was just talking. She was just talking. The man hauls up and punched her in the mouth. And there was a bunch of guys around. They did nothing. They did absolutely nothing. And that made my skin boil. That made my blood start to burn within me. And I started to look at him like, man, that's why we need a healthy household. That's why the family dynamic is so important. Me having a father, I would have jumped instantly, right? And I was wanting to throw hands through the screen. I'm willing to bet those boys didn't have fathers, which is why there wasn't this natural instinct to protect, right? And let's switch it up a bit, right? Because I felt the same way when I saw a younger kid get hit by another guy. Same situation. Kid was running his mouth a little bit, but I assume it was a back and forth. And it wasn't the kid was running his mouth more than this older guy was. They were just both talking back and forth. Guy hauls off, punches this guy in the face, drops him, gets on top of him, still swinging, starts kicking his legs and stuff, and nobody helps. I got equally as angry, right? Like, why are you beating this defenseless kid right now? Like, you've proved your point, lay off. Still no protection, right? So protection goes both ways. I'm not just talking about women because they're just like these helpless, dainty creatures that need our protection to survive. That's not what I'm saying. We just protect in general. There's this innate desire to protect as a man. And if you don't have that, there's a couple of things that you might need to look at within yourself. But again, I digress. And so as a protector, my job is to see the safety of everybody, right? If I'm in a mall, if you're in a mall, if you're in a store, wherever it is, and something breaks out, like my first inclination, and I did this before, and I'll tell you the story in a minute. My first inclination is to protect anybody that I can, right? If we're in a mad dash to get away from whatever it is, you best believe that if there's anybody in my path that is helpless, I'm going to help you, right? Like that. That's just who I am. There's no way around that. And this isn't for show. This isn't me bragging or anything like that. Like, I'm not doing it to get glory or, a badge. That's just, when you have a certain level of love in your heart, you don't. It's not your desire that anybody gets hurt, right? And or wounded or whatever. And so right now we're just talking physically, right? Just physically right now. So a while ago I was in where was I? It was in Oregon. And I saw this. I was in this car with my then girlfriend, and I saw these kids walk into the store, and she was like, "They're gonna rob that store," and I was like, "Nah, no, they're not." Sure enough, they came out like 2 minutes later. They had cases of beer in their hand, and so I instantly, right, like it wasn't a thought in my mind, because I had just left the store and I was talking to the lady inside. It was an Asian, shop, whatever, store, something. I don't remember what it was called, but I was talking to the lady. She was a really sweet older lady, and so I instantly, without thinking, jumped out the car, chased them down, couldn't find them, but a couple of them dropped their beer. because they had gotten a good start on me already, and they ran back to some apartments. And I play Call of Duty. I'm like, I'm not about to go into the middle, right? Like, they got spotters waiting and all that stuff, so I wasn't about to play that game. But I got a good look at what got a good look at them. And so, I went back, called the police with a lady, told her that I was an off-duty cop, and told her to install cameras, and that I would be taking it back to the precinct. And all that was a lie, obviously. I wasn't a police officer, but regardless, that that helped her. I think she actually got cameras. I asked somebody to go back and check a while ago. The store's no longer there, but there were cameras there, so maybe it worked. There's so many other stories about me just like defending people, protecting people, and I do it because it's an instinct. I do it because that's I want to see people safe around me, and I can't bear to see like evils committed in front of me, right? That's just that's not who I am. I can't be in the presence of evils and not do anything about it, right? Like, I'm a superhero basically. And so that's the first thing. And I don't know how to wrap that in a pretty bow. I don't know how to help change you if that's not where you're at. Even if you do have, a father and a mother, like, maybe that's just not who you are. Like, cool, it doesn't. I don't think, but someone asked me this a while ago, so because I told them a different story about something that I did and how I helped someone, and they were like, "How do you get that level of bravery? Like, how do you do that?" And I was like, "You know what? Honestly, I don't think that it was bravery or courage that led me to defending this person. I was like, I think it was the fact that I truly hated that somebody was about to get away with something that deserves justice, And I was like, I can't bear to see someone defenseless being hurt while I have the ability to stop it from happening, and it's not a, sure, it can be bravery and courage, but I think the difference is bravery and courage shows themselves when you have at least a split second to think about it, right? Versus if you act without thinking, I think that's more of your, what is your standards in life? What are your convictions in life? And my convictions are, I'm not going to see anybody get hurt, right? Like, I refuse to see somebody get hurt in front of me. That's not a bravery or a courageous thing. That's just a, this is something that I hold for myself and for others around me. And so that's what caused me to act, right? I think it takes bravery, but I can't show bravery if I'm not thinking about it, right? Like, if I don't have the time to think enough to make this choice to do this thing, then it's not bravery that led me. It was my convictions that led me, right? But that, again, that's coming from me. That's just my own personal take on it. We talked about the family and how the, men are the protector of families. But let's look at emotionally, right? So, and this is huge. This is very huge, right? So not only am I expected, I believe, by God to be a protector of my household and really others when the opportunity presents itself. And certainly as I see fit, I believe that God expects me to keep people safe, right? That's why I know how to, I can throw down if I need to. That I want to use that only if I need to help keep people safe, right? So that's physically, but then also emotionally. How are we supposed to keep people safe, right? A man protects the emotions and feelings of others. So right now I'm considering women, but also that shows itself in just any old relationship, mom and dad, friends, cousins, whatever it is. Men protect others' emotions, right? I have the ability. The Bible says that life and death lies in the power of the tongue, somewhere in Proverbs, I believe. That means that I have the ability to build you up through my words. You can leave my presence encouraged, more happy, more joyful, more hopeful, more full of love, or you can leave my presence full of death, right? I could speak death over you, which is robbing you of your hope and your joy and love, your peace. I can, you leave my presence destroyed because the things that I'm saying to you are just so negative and broken and hurtful. If I don't care about how I speak to people, I'm not caring for their heart. I'm not protecting their heart. I'm not protecting their emotions, right? And that's something that I've always prided myself on. That's why, I don't know if you've noticed, but that's why I've been over explaining myself so much. That's why I'm so careful. And this is a bit of the anxiety too, so don't do what I do specifically. one of the reasons why I am so careful not to offend and why I'm always, giving disclaimers is because I don't want anybody to feel hurt. I don't want anybody to feel attacked. I don't want anyone's spirit to be broken because of something that I say, right? I was put on this earth to bring joy, to bring peace and love to people, to show them, to encourage them, to build them up, to connect them to a sense of purpose. That's why God created me. I do that through humor. I do that through wisdom. I'm really good at reading people. I'm really good at reading situations. Sometimes when I'm emotionally available enough, I'm very good at doing things like that. And so that's what I use to give encouragement, to give people their sense of purpose, or at least connect them to the source in which they can find their purpose, to give them a sense of hope, point them to the source of hope and joy and love and all those good things, which is Jesus, right? And so that's who I am. That's who I was created to be as a man. But I can't do that if I'm not protecting people's emotions, if I'm not concerned whether or not I'm offending people, and not just by telling the truth, but like truly offending them, like, no, you'd suck at that, don't do that. You know what I mean? That I'm not being a man, right? So if I can't be there for family, I'll give you an example. I had a friend. I was probably 12 or 13, and I had a friend whose father would always talk junk to me. And for a while, I thought it was cool. I thought it was funny, but I started to see how battered my friend was. My friend would act out a lot. He'd be very belligerent in his actions sometimes. He'd be very disgusting at other times. He was very, I guess, sexually, I don't know, not active in the sense that he was having sex, but sexually active as if he was very like hypersexual as a young boy. And when I started to see how his dad would treat him and why he acted so angry and all that stuff, like I got it. It all started to make sense. And he was always being talked down to. His dad was always telling him he ain't shit, telling him he was just, the worst, and then at times he would beat him, right? So my friend grew up and he had all this confidence and he was very, stable, and he's a great man now. But I remember I had a conversation with that boy's dad, I'm sorry, my friend's dad, one time, and I was like, well, I think we just got done playing basketball, and I was like, but why would you do that? He was like, we were talking about something that he did with a friend and some other like women and stuff, and I was like, but why would you do that? I was like, that sounds terrible. He was like, man, that's just what a man does. You feel me? And I'll never forget that. And I was like, man, like someone told him that that's what a man does, right? Like having all these threesomes, even though he has a wife and is married at home, has a wife and he has his kids at home. And, he has a business where he sometimes works around kids, him, going and doing drugs and having these weird, uncomfortable, I'm not going to get into the details because, to some people, an orgy doesn't sound bad, but it's not as simple as it sounds. But anyways, I digress. So doing all these things, being verbally abusive to his kids, all because he just wants them to grow up with a good head on their shoulders and not to be afraid of anything, right? That's what he told me once. That's what he thought a man was, right? He thought that he was doing what a man does. A man gets out there, he has sex, and he makes his children afraid of him. But as long as he brings money to the household, he's being a man, right? That was such a toxic view of masculinity, that I wanted to always speak out against that. Like that made me sick to my stomach, seeing how mistreated his son was, and also his daughter. But his son really got it. And so, at all times, I want to be a source of peace, joy, and love to people. I want people to feel comfortable being in my presence, even those who have never, experience that level of joy or whatever it is, love or acceptance. I want people to feel that in my presence, right? I want them to leave feeling way more encouraged and way more full of hope and life once they leave me, because of the things that will help them accomplish later on, right? That also will fight against what we've been seeing in the world today. If we see more love being passed around, then we see less pain, heartbreak. We see less. I believe drug usage. I think we'd see less, the ch just child trafficking and smuggling and drug smuggling, all these different things that we're seeing now, I think can be defeated or could have been defeated with love, right? So I think that it can be now, but I think we're a little bit too late at that point, where we'll see dents being made, but I don't think we'll see it eradicated on this side of life. But that's, again, I have my own specific beliefs about that. So those are the two things that I wanted to touch on. I just wanted to just ramble about who a man is, and that he protects his family, he protects others, he protects people's emotions, he protects in that he watches his words, he's very careful with the things that he says because he understands that his words have the power to destroy people. And you know what, I'm not done, sorry. Look at Trump. Again, this isn't a political podcast, but we as a as a nation are starting to come together, and we're protesting peacefully, I might add. And again, not everywhere, but a large majority of us are protesting peacefully. Our my black and white brothers and sisters, and Hispanics, and I've seen one for Pacific Islanders and Asians, and all these different communities are coming together, and cultures are coming together and standing against something that they truly are starting to see as a terrible. This is a constant, right? And so, we had a KKK rally, right? Or there was a KKK rally, and there was a riot that was held after the Super Bowl Eagles game. I think I might have told the story before, and we see nothing but rioting and destruction and all that. President says nothing. We have peaceful protests, and the president calls us what did he call us? Thugs and gangsters, and told us that he was going to unleash the military on us. And words are tearing apart a nation. His words are, right? And you have a 16-year-old girl who came from, I think, Norway or Sweden or something, Greenland, I don't remember. And her only concern is climate control, and she's calling out the leaders for not taking it seriously. What does this man do? He goes to Twitter and he tries to tear her apart using his words, right? Attacking a 16-year-old girl. A 16-year-old girl, let that sink in for a minute. This is a 70-something-year-old man, 60-something-year-old man, whatever, attacking, using his words that can bring life to a situation. He's using it to bring death to a situation, right? And there's a way that seems right in a man's mind, but the end of it is death. He's breaking the little girl's spirit. He's trying to break the spirit of this movement. He's trying to break the spirit of this nation. Well, he's not trying to, but he just is, because that's who he is. And again, this isn't about him specifically. It's just an example of a man that can use words to destroy. And if we're not taking that seriously, then we're gonna always, just leave a wake of broken, hurting people in our path, because we don't care that our words literally hold power over others. They do. That's words are powerful. My God and my beliefs, he used words to create all that we know and see today. And so if words can create a world or create a universe, how much more can your words destroy somebody else's universe, in their own little minds? And so, we protect physically, we protect emotionally, but let's even look at it further, where I believe that we protect the voiceless. I use my words to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. Right now, there's another movement going on in the world, and I'm sorry this is so political, but also I don't apologize. And we see this moment where ICE, detaining all of these children, and a lot of children are, they've complained of sexual harassment, and in so many ways, like, we need our men to rise up and be a voice for these voiceless. We protect others, their rights. You have a right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. I'm going to do everything in my power to help you live that, right? So right now, as it speaks, I'm looking for people to partner with. I'm looking for any movement that exists to try to help what's going on at these ICE detainee camps. I don't understand the full extent of it, but I, in all good consciousness, can't sit here and scream, my life matters, Black Lives Matter, even though, it's very, we're very undervalued. I'm not trying to take away the significance of the movement. I can't, in all good consciousness, sit here and scream Black Lives Matter if I'm not equally as passionate about, those detainee lives, and all those lives have been snatched from their parents. And I want to be a voice for the voiceless, right? I think that's the third thing, is that if I'm not looking out for the rights, the liberties, the equality of other people, then I cannot call myself someone that is loving, right? Because that's tough. Showing love in that way is very tough. It's going against the grain, right? You're raising your voice when you're in the back of the classroom and nobody's looking at you, and it's making everybody look at you, and now you got the attention and they're saying, what are you going to do about it? You know? And so, got to be a voice for the voiceless. We have to be able to show concern about someone other than ourselves. And that's huge. I want to be able to go against the grain, and, you know, I don't want to create a happy, healthy, comfortable life around me if the lives around me are in such a state of disarray and a state of discomfort and dis-ease, and you know, everyone's lives are in shambles. Like, I can't have a healthy, happy life if others around me aren't the same way, right? I want to see a functioning culture of people, a society of people, a community of people that are all bonded together in equality and unity and love. And I think that's when we see the world at its best. But until, you know, someone speaks up and starts that movement, it won't happen. We won't see it if someone isn't out there caring for other people, right? We're in such a I got mine, now you get yours sort of society that, you know, things are so backwards, right? That's why we have such this divide where, you know, billionaires are seemingly a separate species of people, and then millionaires are a separate species of people, and then there's, you know, the wealthy, which I consider like the thousandaires, the people that are, you know, able to pay their bills and they're not concerned with anything. And then there's just everybody else, right? The people that are living paycheck to paycheck that are just getting by, you know, and then the people who are just getting by that are seeing why there's a bit of a divide between me to the next person. They're getting told, yeah, just shut up, just work harder. You know, you're just lazy. You know, you're just trying to mooch off of the system. And, you know, and there's such this divide. When are we going to start using our voices to speak up for other people? You know, I can't consider myself that man if I'm not out there trying to make a difference for the people that come after me, right? Like, and it's funny because I feel like what I'm saying is so weird, and I know it's not. It's just what I'm saying is so countercultural, right? We're not being taught as men, we're not being taught to care for other people. We're not. We're being taught to do anything that you can to make it for yourself and maybe your immediate circle, but that's it. Right? Like, don't you dare care about the world because the world don't care about you, or don't you dare care about the world because, you know, that's a hopeless, you know, venture. Like, you're not gonna, you know, achieve anything, and, you know, it's not gonna work out. And you know, no, baloney, right? Like, I want to see this world better, so I have to start doing something. And as I speak, I'm not actively doing things daily. Like, I'm not this social justice warrior that's out there, you know, making strides and marching in the streets. Sorry if you hear my dog. You know, I'm struggling too. But what I'm saying is, if we can start to do this together, you know, I do believe that we will see a healed and healthier world. So that is truly all I got for you guys. I want to thank you for listening to this episode. If you are, if you're liking it so far, if you want to hear more, please leave me a like. You can head over to Apple Music. You can head over to iHeartRadio. You can head over to Stitcher, iTunes. Leave a review, a like, a comment, you know, a thumbs up, a thumbs down, whatever it is. Let me know what you're thinking, guys. I thrive off of feedback. I love it. I do. I love it. You can send me an email even, comedylife24@gmail.com. It's comedylife, comedylife24 @gmail.com. So with that said, guys, I'm going to end it. I think that there's a lot more to talk about. There's also probably a lot that I left out. So if there's something that I might not have mentioned, please let me know. And yeah, I will feature it in the episodes to come, and I will shout you out, and I will send you a fruit basket. So with that said, guys, this is Challenge the Culture. And until next time, I'm out.